All right, so we have only two systems left. Today's is digestive. So one of the differences between last week and this week is the system. The other difference is that we're not quite done with it in lecture like we were for the urinary system by the time you did it. But same old story. I just covered this stuff, so I'm not going to re-lecture to you, but let's quickly see what you remember about the hepatic portal system from today. So first of all, why do you have a hepatic portal system?
It brings in the nutrients from the stomach.
Right. Mostly from small intestine, but also the stomach. But what do you mean brings it? It does bring them in, but you wouldn't need a portal system to absorb them. All you need is a circulatory system, right, to absorb them. So why do you have a portal system? Which is, remember, two capillary beds in series without the heart in between. Why do you have that in the digestive system?
You went up?
About a half hour ago. So, what is this portal system called?
Hepatic.
Okay, so why do you have it, then?
Support the liver?
Well, it's not really to support the liver. What supports the liver is that it's getting blood from a branch of the aorta, which isn't involved in the portal system. So why do you have the hepatic portal system? So that you can send those nutrients that have just been absorbed to the liver directly before it goes throughout the body. Before they go throughout the body. That's what the hepatic portal system is all about. So like any portal system, there's two capillary beds, right? Where is the first capillary bed? What's the first capillary bed in the portal system? What you do between these 15 minutes between class and and that pushed everything that I said earlier out of your brain? The first capillary bed is up against the epithelium of the stomach and small intestine. Right? That's where nutrients are coming in. Mostly small intestine, but also a little bit of the stomach. So blood receives what nutrients at that capillary bed? It's the breakdown products of everything but fats. So what are the three major nutrient classes? Proteins,
polysaccharides,
nucleic acids is also something you eat, but it's minor, so it's usually not even considered a nutrient class. But yeah, those are in there as well. And the third one, though, that's a nutrient class is what did I not say? Lipids. So all four of them have to be digested, right? What are the fully digested products of protein digestion? Amino acids. Fully digested lipids are what? Actually, I didn't quite get to this in lecture yet. But by far, the predominant dietary lipid is fats, which is just one kind of lipid. But that's most what you're taking in your food is fats. When a fat is broken down, what is another name for a fat, by the way? No, cholesterol is not fat. It's a lipid, but it's not a fat. Another name for a fat, kind of an older name nowadays, is triglyceride. The better name is triacylglycerol. But anyway, when a fat is broken down, it's broken down into its components. What are the components of a fat? Yeah, which we call, what is that, just that tail called, and when it's by itself? Same thing that it's called when it's on a phospholipid. A fatty acid. So there's three fatty acids, and what are they connected to? A glycerol. So when you break down a fat, when you digest it, usually what's left over are two free fatty acids on their own, plus one monoglyceride. The glycerol with just one tail on it. All right? Full breakdown products or full digestion products of, or the products of complete digestion of nucleic acids are what? Right? Nucleotides, which actually get broken down further in the cells into their constituents, phosphate, sugar, and nitrogenous base. And then what did we not mention? Polysaccharides. What is the predominant dietary polysaccharide? That's not a polysaccharide. There's two major polysaccharides that you take in as part of your diet. Those are cellulose and starch. But cellulose isn't considered a dietary polysaccharide because you don't have the enzymes to break it down, even though it's nothing but glucose just like starch is, but it's linked together differently and you can't break it apart. That's why it's called roughage or fiber. But the dietary polysaccharide mostly is starch. And the breakdown product of that is glucose, right? So those are those final products are what actually get absorbed. Glucose, other monosaccharides as well, like fructose and galactose. Amino acids, free fatty acids, monoglycerides, and nucleotides. Now what you said is that all of that stuff except what goes into the bloodstream. Now glucose... Well, no polysaccharide goes into the bloodstream. It's too big. It gets digested into monosaccharides, which do go into the bloodstream. So which is of those four macromolecules, once they get broken down into subunits, what is the only macromolecule whose subunits don't get put directly into the bloodstream? Breakdown products of fats, right, which are the fatty acids and the monoglycerides. And where do they go? Oh, thanks, by the way.
Texting. Okay. Forgot anything else.
Okay.
I wasn't very good this morning, so.
That's no problem at all.
It's not a rough morning. So.
So where do those go, then? They get absorbed by the cells of the epithelium of the small intestine, just like everything does that's absorbed. But instead of going into the blood, which are capillaries, blood capillaries, they go into what? Lacteals, which are lymphatic capillaries. And so those don't get delivered through the portal system, right? Fatty acids and monoglycerides get put into lymph. That travels through the lymph, through lymphatic vessels of greater and greater diameter, till they finally get dumped into the blood circulation at the left subclavian vein, right? Through the thoracic duct, that we talked about. But all those other things that get put at the epithelium of the gut directly into the blood capillaries, which are the nucleotides, the amino acids, and the monosaccharides, plus vitamins and things like that, those get put into the portal system, and that first capillary bed of the portal system is simply the collection of capillaries that surround the stomach and small intestine. Those drain into bigger and bigger venules first, and then veins, right? And then into a big vein called the hepatic portal vein. which then, unusual for a vein, gets smaller by branching, because this is a portal system. But that happens once it goes into the liver. Once it goes into the liver, you have more and more branching of the hepatic portal vein until, at an almost microscopic level, you have these tiny branches of hepatic portal vein, one in each hepatic triad at the corners of these little hexagonal cylinders I was showing you today. That's the second capillary bed. Okay? Those are as small as the vessels get. Those then empty into those sinusoids along with the blood that mixes with it from the coming into the hip, into the liver through the proper hepatic artery. Freshly oxygenated blood gets mixed with this deoxygenated but nutrient-rich blood from the gut coming through the portal veins. Those get mixed in these sinusoids, and then they leave through the central vein, okay, of each little cylinder. Central veins collect into a bigger and bigger veins until they eventually leave the overall liver through hepatic veins, not hepatic portal veins, hepatic veins, left and right, which dump immediately into the inferior vena cava that the liver wraps around. And that inferior vena cava, once it gets through the diaphragm, it's almost back home, right? It just dumps into the right atrium along with all the other used blood. But that's blood now that came out of the liver after coming in through both routes. Okay, does that all make sense now? All right, well then the rest of it's just looking at stuff.